Welcome to Showdown. I'm Mark Kaysen, and this is the 3rd of July. It's a Wednesday, and it is one day before one of our gigantic holidays. Everybody will disappear from the studios here tomorrow, as almost everywhere. I mean, that's just the way it goes. People on the 4th want to go get some rest. And I don't know what they're resting from, but hey, if they want to rest, let them go get a rest. And then at the end of the day, they can shoot off a bunch of firecrackers, which, you know, be careful, because I know when I was a kid and I was doing that, I was blowing them up in my hands and all over the place where it was not very healthy. And it doesn't do much good for your hearing either. It's not a good thing to do. But in any event, it's coming tomorrow, 4th of July, and here we are trying to answer a question today that is really a foolish question. And I listened to this all day long, and I thought to myself, how can these people keep asking the same question over and over, knowing exactly what the answer has to be? You know, I talked yesterday about Kamala Harris, and I do believe that Kamala Harris will be the presidential candidate for the Democratic Party. And it's not a question of me saying that I want Joe Biden to get out. It's a question of, what do I think is possible here? And let me go back to these foolish questions. The foolish question is Joe Biden thinking about getting out of the race? And everybody's answer is, absolutely not. And that's the way they're saying it. Absolutely not. He's not thinking about it. Well, look how foolish that is. You know, without being in Joe Biden's head, that if you were Joe Biden, you'd be thinking about it. I mean, you have to think about it. I mean, you could try not to think about it. You could put your hands over your ears and go la, 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 la. But in the end, you're going to think about it. So that question, which they spent 1 hour finding all different ways to ask that same question, and then when they couldn't think of any new ways, they just went back and started asking the question the old way, and they still got the same answer. He is thinking about it, and they're not going to admit it. And maybe he's not admitting it to his people. But his people can't be foolish or stupid. They all know that somewhere in his head, Joe Biden is thinking about what it might be like to not do this. Should he do it? Should he not do it? I mean, he can ask Jill and he can ask everybody that he runs into. He could, I don't know. How many people can he ask? It doesn't really matter. He's going to make the decision first. That's the key to this. And the second thing is, it doesn't matter what anybody else says. He is going to decide. So we can stop asking that dumb question. At least we won't ask it here. What I will ask you to do here is give me a call if you feel like it, if you want to talk about this at all. You can get me at 314-471-1968, 314-471-1968, and we can talk about any of this. That would be fine. Is Joe Biden thinking about getting out of the race? Because the answer is, yes, he is. Of course he is. He may not want to, and he may not get out, but he's thinking about it, and I guarantee you, lots of other people are thinking about it, too, and getting up and saying, Joe Biden must quit. is also a waste of time, because he's going to decide what he wants, and he's going to do it based on whether he thinks that he's going to look crazy. Because if he thinks he's going to look crazy, he's going to get out. And if he thinks he can really do this, then he'll stay in. Now, we know that there's an interview coming, and we're all going to watch it on Sunday morning. George Stephanopoulos will interview Joe Biden. And he's going to be tough. He has to be. He would look ridiculous if he didn't. And he doesn't want to be stupid. He doesn't want to be considered a fool. So he's going to do it. He's going to be tough. And Joe Biden is probably going to be able to answer the questions, I think. I expect that he can. Because, again, like I said yesterday, this is not just what he can do this week. Because I think he can be okay this week. I think he can get back on that stage with Donald and take him on, I think. Be pretty bad if he couldn't. But I think he can. I think the problem is, what's it going to be like in 4 years? When he's 86 years old, then what's going to happen? So that's probably the big issue. But here's something that maybe we want to think about. And I'm going to throw out a name here. And this is a really great name. And if there's anybody in the audience here, or really almost anywhere, who knows this name, I will be absolutely shocked. I could ask all my good broadcasting friends. I am sure that everybody would look at me and say, what are you talking about? So anyway, here's the name. Paul von Hindenburg. You ever hear of that guy, Joe?
Nope.
Yeah. Joe said no. Of course not.
The Hindenburg was probably named
that. No. None of that. No, this is an interesting guy. You'll find him really interesting when I explain the problem. Paul von Hindenburg had been the chancellor of Germany. And he had to decide whether he should run again. And the reason he had to decide is because he was 84 years old. Gee, I wonder who that sounds like. And I can tell you right now, of course, he was running against none other than Donald Trump's hero, Adolf Hitler. And they were competing in 1933, right at about the time that the Depression was hitting about bottom. And of course, Germany suffered more than anybody because of what the Allies had done with the Versailles Treaty. You know, not good stuff. We got ourselves into trouble at the end of World War I. We did some dumb things, and there were repercussions from that. But beyond that, it was worse than that, because clearly the person who was stepping up, that was about to challenge von Hindenburg, was none other than Adolf Hitler. And we all look back in time, and I'm talking about historians certainly now, look back in time and recall this old man who ran against Hitler. And by the way, he didn't lose by that much either. He really didn't. He wasn't annihilated by Hitler. No question there were people for Hitler in Germany, but it wasn't a runaway. But then again, von Hindenburg was an old man, and everybody agrees that old man thinking that he was going to take on Adolf Hitler, well, it wasn't likely, and it didn't work. So Hindenburg, von Hindenburg moved on into, as we sometimes call it, the trash heap of history. And Adolf Hitler, of course, did his thing. But here we are with the neo-Nazis. And when I say neo-Nazis, realize this. This is not just coming from me. People all over the world are talking about this, about neo-Nazis. The neo-Nazis are winning in France, and there's a further election coming in France, running against Macron. Of course, Macron's not an old man, but doesn't matter. The right wing is rising around the world. And you know, Donald is right here with his neo-Nazi friends. And I mentioned yesterday, you know, Leonard Leo, the head of the Federalist Society, and clearly he is an American version of the neo-Nazis. He has led a number of these Supreme Court justices to the kinds of decisions that you would expect from neo-Nazis. Well, as an example, that the President of the United States is immune from illegal behavior and he can act like a king and he can, well, do a lot of things. He could kill another opponent. He could kill an opponent in an election and that's, you know, somebody running against him. He could kill the person before the election. He could kill them anytime. Now, as an example, Joe Biden could kill, I said this yesterday, could kill Donald Trump legally. All he have to do is say this is an emergency. As the president of the United States, I say that we need to kill Trump because we can't take the risk. And the result, hello, Ben, the result would be the Supreme Court would say it's legal. Or maybe they wouldn't, but certainly they've set it up that way. That's what they've decided here, that the President of the United States can break the law with impunity, period. Now, I explained yesterday, and I'm not going to go into it all again today, but I explained yesterday why the Mershon case in Manhattan is 99% likely to survive. That case is going to survive. And the next question is, what's Mershon going to do when it comes time to sentence Donald Trump? And all the experts today are saying Trump will never go to jail for what he did. And there's no doubt that based on a normal situation, Donald Trump would not go to jail for this. He would get some kind of a probationary deal or something like that. So, you know, that would be normal. But this isn't normal, and neither is Donald, because we know that he's out there screaming against people that he's not really allowed to do. But then again, they've taken the gag order away, and they did that because, well, they knew that with the decisions that are being made here, you're not going to be able to get away with that. And in any event, as a result of all of this, what's Donald saying? Donald says that he has now achieved total immunity. And we know that's not true. But of course, Donald lies. Doesn't matter. He's saying it. He's telling everybody he has total immunity. He's acting like he has total immunity. And when we get to September 18th, which is the date when Judge Mershon is going to tell the convicted felon what the penalty is for what he's done. And what's going to happen, probably be like everybody says, that Mershon will back down. Probably be the case. But I'll tell you this. If I were Judge Mershon, I wouldn't worry about the Supreme Court. I wouldn't worry about being overturned. I wouldn't worry about any of it. I would say this guy shows no contrition. He is breaking the law all the time, regularly. He breaks the law. Now, he may not break a law in the sense that the Supreme Court says, although I don't know. I would guess that in 2024, since Trump is not the president of the United States, that he can't break the law, I guess. But you never know what those people can do. They're neo-Nazis, trust me. They could come up with anything. But I am going to say this much. Mershon is the only person standing right now who, with his own decision, no votes, nothing. Mershon is the only person who can say to Donald Trump, go to jail. Might be overturned in appeal. You know those appeals don't happen overnight. So it would create some chaos for Trump. And really, Mershon being the only person who can do it, if it were me, I'd do it. And I'm not saying it in some kind of a silly way. I'm not joking about it or something. I would stand up and I would take the heat. I'd say, you know, whatever comes, I'm gonna sentence this guy to jail. And remembering that the law is on Mershon's side because the judge has the final word. And the judge has plenty of reason to do this, threatening witnesses, threatening jurors, doxing people. We hopefully you saw Stormy Daniels last night on Rachel Maddow's show, and she's been doxed along with many other people connected to the case. Donald is putting out their names everywhere to try to get them hurt. I mean, listen to that. I mean, this is not insignificant. Donald is trying to get these people hurt. So he's putting out this information. And of course, Stormy Daniels explained that she owes Trump $600,000 now because she stood up against Trump and Trump got her in front of a judge and the judge said you owe him $600,000 as attorney's fees because of what you're saying about him. And here's the thing on that, which I saw this morning, and I had thought about this yesterday, and I'm very pleased, and I think a lot of people will be, and that is that you know, Stormy Daniels said, I'm going to have to pay $600,000, but E. Jean Carroll's getting $80 to $90 million. And E. Jean Carroll said today that she will step up and help Stormy Daniels, which is a good thing. That's very important. And the reason that Stormy Daniels is fighting the fight she is because the court is demanding that she fill out a form that tells where her daughter lives. 13-year-old daughter. And Stormy Daniels says, I don't care if you charge me every penny that I ever make the rest of my life, and I don't care if you put me in jail for life. She said, I'm not telling anybody where to find my 13-year-old daughter. Fair enough. In the meantime, E. Jean Carroll jumped in and said, I'm going to be with Stormy Daniels. Don't worry about it. I've got money coming, and I'm capable of supporting her. She's trying to raise money for lawyers' fees and so forth in a GoFundMe page, and really, you don't even need all those other people to put up any money, because E. Jean Carroll could take $1 million out of that 90 that she's got and just turn it over, because let's face it, this is not right what they're doing to Stormy Daniels. It's not right. It's not fair. It's like Stormy Daniels said, life may not be fair, but it would be right for the country to stand up behind her and help protect her 13-year-old daughter against Donald Trump, who is a psychopathic maniac. I mean, look, anybody that would try to harm a 13-year-old has got to be very ill. And he's trying to do everything he can to get that information out so that the crazy people who work with him, who are also neo-Nazis, that they will come after a 13-year-old. I mean, if you don't believe any of this, go watch last night's Rachel Maddow show. Go check it out. Now, you can say, oh, Stormy Daniels is lying. Well, how is it that everybody else is lying and never Donald, who is actually the one that is lying? Now, I did a whole show on his lies 2 days ago, so I'm not going to redo that today. But I am going to say that in the overall scope of things, our version of Adolf Hitler is on the rise. There's a poll out today, in fact, about 6 or 7 of them, that all show that Joe Biden lost 2 points as a result of his debate. And you might say, well, 2 points, what's that? Well, in the first place, the polls all show that Biden was already down by maybe 3 or 4. So now he's down by, say, 5 or 6. Can he come back from that? Sure he can. However, he can't come back if he can't do the things that he needs to be able to do. And let me give you an example of what could have happened today that would have been so effective. In fact, it would have been beyond effective. It's all we would be talking about right now if this had happened this afternoon. That 1 hour press conference with all of those media people asking the questions at the White House over and over and over and over. Is Joe Biden thinking about getting out of the race? Same dumb question over and over. All they had to do, this would have been so good if they had had Joe Biden walk in to the briefing room. He could have moved, what's her name? Karen Pierre, whatever it is. They could have moved her out of the way, said, look, don't worry about it. I got it. And then he could have stood there and he could have said, look, you want to ask this question 100 different ways for the next 2 hours? I'm right here. Ask every question you want, because I'm here and I'm ready. It's all we'd be talking about right now. Nothing else. Now, if Joe Biden can't do it, that's the problem. I don't know that that's the case, but I know that he could have walked into that room and had a giant impact, and it would have run all over the news all night long. It's all everybody would be talking about. And it would have negated the debate if Joe Biden were capable of handling it. I don't know if he could. I'm not there. I'm not in his head. But if he could do it, that would have solved his problem. We'd be on to another discussion. They'd have forgotten the debate. They'd have said, you see what Joe Biden did? Walked into that room and said, here I am. 1 hour, 2 hours, 5 hours, I don't care. Until you can't take it anymore, I'm here. That's all he had to do. and he didn't do it. And I'm sure they knew that he could have done that. Not necessarily the questioners. They probably figured that's never going to happen. But Joe Biden's staff undoubtedly knew. Everybody knew. And if you don't think that there's any precedence for it, this is not exactly real life. But if you ever saw Michael Douglas in The American President, this is exactly what he did in the movie. And again, like I say, Joe Biden could have walked in there and taken questions forever. And everybody would have said, that is one tough man. End of story. Didn't happen. So we've got to wonder still, where are we? Yeah, he's going to go and take an hour's worth of questions or however long the questions are from George Stephanopoulos, and they're going to be tough questions. But it's not the same. It's not the same as walking in and shocking everybody. That's what he could have done today. That's what he didn't do today. So time will tell us all of this, of course. But it was a missed opportunity for sure. And as I pointed out earlier in starting this show, think back to the other alternative, which is Paul von Hindenburg. I mean, this is something that everybody knows in history, that Adolf Hitler walked into Germany and took over from an 84-year-old person who everybody thought was a great, great man. They loved him, very respected, but he was 84. And what were you going to get out of an 84-year-old guy? It was just not the same. Not the same. Now, I understand that Donald's 77, but, you know, 77 isn't 80, or 78 isn't 80. It isn't 82. It's getting there, and Donald's got his own problems, no question. I agree. I've heard them. I've seen it. That's a fact. But the problems right now are not on Trump. The problems are on Joe Biden. And Biden and the Democratic Party has got to turn this back against Trump. That's simple. Now, they've got everything. They've got all the ammunition. Check this out. You want to run that thing, Joe? This is an ad today, brand new.
Nearly 250 years ago, America was founded in defiance of a king, under the belief that no one is above the law, not even the president, until now. The same Trump Supreme Court that overturned Roe v. Wade ruled that the president can ignore the law, even to commit a crime, because Donald Trump asked them to. He's already led an insurrection and threatened to be a dictator on day one. Donald Trump can never hold this office again.
Okay, thanks a lot, Joe. Okay, so look, great ad, but it's not going to work. It's just not. You got to do something impactful. You've got to do something to get everybody's attention. Unless you want Paul von Hindenburg to put the United States in the same place. I'm sorry, Joe Biden to put the United States in the same position that Paul von Hindenburg did for Germany in 1933. I mean, if you want to do that and you want Joe Biden to go down in history as a good-hearted, decent old man who couldn't fight back against neo-Nazis, well, that's where we're headed. And the only solution, well, there are two. Number one, Joe Biden stands up and shows the country that he can handle everything, anything, that his age is meaningless, and that he's tough as nails. That's sort of the Harry Truman approach in 1948. You know, in 1948, Harry Truman, who was taking the same positions in many ways as Joe Biden today, he was on his way to being annihilated in the 1948 presidential election, and Dewey was supposed to take the whole thing easily. And of course, everybody should remember from history the picture of Harry Truman holding up the newspaper with the headline, Dewey Wins. So, yeah, it can be done. And Truman was tough the same way. He stood up against these people. He fought them. He hit them hard. He did everything that everybody said you shouldn't do. Desegregated the military. You know, you don't get a lot of points in 1948 for saying that black people have equal rights. Same as 1954 when it happened with Earl Warren. I mean, this is on and on. But Harry Truman did what he had to do and beat Dewey. He beat him. He was not supposed to, but he did. The polls said he couldn't do it, and he did. So, yes, that would work. But you've got to be Truman. You got to be tough. You've got to be able to stand up and fight. If you can't even walk into the press room today and answer the questions and take your press person off the hook, if you can't do that, then what can you do? Well, we're going to find out. I know next week, NATO is in town. It's a big deal, no question about it. And those NATO leaders, they love Trump. They love Biden. They do. They hate Trump. They despise him. They fear him. They fear that Trump will turn the world over to Vladimir Putin. I had somebody ask me, how really could Trump end that war in one day? How could he do that? Could he do it? Well, the answer is yes, he could. All he has to do is go to his boss, Vladimir Putin, say, Vladimir, what do you want me to do here? Vladimir will tell him, and in walks Trump, does what he's told, and in one day the war is over. Oh, sure, everybody will hate his guts, Trump's, but what's the difference if he's elected already? See, that's the point. That's why, you know, that dictator on day one, not good. That's a problem. You know, Trump now says, well, I only meant I would be a dictator for one day. What are you even saying things like that for? What do you mean you'll be a dictator for a day? Or a day or 2 days or 10? Or what are you talking about? That's not what we do here. Except for the Supreme Court is telling you, yeah, it is what we do. That's a problem. Here, we'll get back to NATO in a minute. Right now, let's go to dinner. And I'm going to take you to dinner. I'm going to take everybody to dinner tonight at Wendy's. Wendy's is at 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road. And I'm telling you, we can all go to Wendy's tonight and continue this conversation. Although you could also call in to me at 314-471-1968. We can do it here. And then we can go on to Wendy's and, you know, finish this up all night long. But you're also going to want to eat some dinner. And I suggest that you think about, well, all the great things you can get at Wendy's. I'm going to say the wings because I understand everybody loves the wings. And that's good because the wings are great. It's just not my favorite food, but it's everybody else's. So go to Wendy's, get the wings. Now, in addition to the wings, hamburgers, cheeseburgers, patty melts, salads, pizza, all great food at Wendy's. You cannot go wrong. Of course, if you're casing, you might think about the baby back ribs, and also the onion rings. That's what I eat. That's my favorite. But you eat what you want, because this is still, at least temporarily, a free country. Paul von Hindenburg hasn't lost yet. So anyway, go to Wendy's at 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road and get yourself a great dinner, and go there and meet and see great people there. Bring great people with you. Add to that great atmosphere at Wendy's, and everybody will love it. And don't forget also, you can go to Defiance, where Wendy's has a Wendy's Roadhouse. Same great food, same thing. This is Wendy's, and it's a $29.99 South Highway 94. So check that out. Go to Wendy's, and you know, look, we've got this holiday coming up, and that's a great time to just go and enjoy Wendy's, and you can do it. So go enjoy. Just try not to think about Paul von Hindenburg. Okay, next, I'm going to take you to get some jewelry at 4506 Hampton. That's Jewels on Hampton. And there, you can get so much that I can't even begin to describe it. I can only tell you that they have cases and cases and cases filled with jewelry, all different, all interesting, all great prices. And of course, the great owners, you've got Al and then his son AJ, and they'll talk to you about everything having to do with jewelry. They'll talk to you about buying coins and jewelry, selling coins and jewelry to them. I mean, there's all kinds of opportunity if you go to 4506 Hampton. That's Jewels on Hampton. And remember, they will do several things. First of all, they'll design jewelry for you. It could be their creative design. It could be something you like. Or when you get to the end of this whole thing, you might see that your watch is not working, and you'll say to yourself, what can I do? And just, you won't even have to worry. Just turn it all over to Al and AJ. They'll fix your watch. That's Jewels on Hampton. 4506 Hampton, you'll be happy if you're looking for jewelry. Now, suits. Got suits and ties and shirts and shoes and overcoats. They got everything at the St. Louis Suit Company in Clayton. It's on the corner of Forsyth and Central. And yes, you can get all the great clothes that you can imagine. I'm a perfect example. I dress nicely all the time. Of course, I'm sort of shifting gears here a little bit because I just bought a bunch of blue jeans, and not all blue, but jeans. And that's the hot thing now. You wear jeans along with your sport coat or your suit coat, and then you also wear your chucks, and you are cool. You can be really cool. You can be really fashionable, and all of that with the help of the St. Louis Suit Company in Clayton. They've been there for 29 years. And don't forget, if you're getting married, you definitely want to go to the St. Louis Suit Company, because they'll help you with wedding attire. That is their, really considered to be at this point, their number one expertise. So go to them. That's, of course, Jay and Nick, and talk to them about your wedding, and they'll help you get that all together. But in every way, they'll dress you. They'll match the colors like they do for me. I'm colorblind, but they match the colors for me. And again, those ties are $5. And if you've heard about the $5 ties and you haven't gotten down to the St. Louis Suit Company to check it out, that's unbelievable. You must never want a tie in your life. And besides that, let's say you never wear a tie. You can buy ties for your friends who may also never wear one, but they'll think you're really unbelievable when you buy them a tie that looks like it's 50 and you've paid $5. St. Louis Suit Company in Clayton. Now, I was talking about NATO, and so really this is such a big deal this weekend or this week with everybody coming into Washington from Europe, and they're going to talk about the future of NATO on the 75-year anniversary of really an organization that was formed coming out of World War II. Obviously, Franklin Roosevelt and Harry Truman were a big part of all of this. Truman, who was elected in 48, and of course NATO came into being in 1949. George Kennan, George Marshall, Cordell Hull, all of these important people in history. They were strong. They were smart. They fixed Germany and Japan, and they put together an alliance that has expanded all the way to today. 32 countries, originally 12. Last two, very important, Finland and Sweden, who have the largest and most powerful armies in Europe. They're big and they're important, and they're now in NATO. And all of this because of Joe Biden. Because Joe Biden wouldn't sit back and allow Donald Trump to destroy everything created by Roosevelt and Truman and Cordell Hull and all of these great people in our history. And all of our presidents have supported this. They've supported American leadership for 75 years, all the way through Ronald Reagan, all the way through everybody. Only one person in the history of the United States, one president in our history, has opposed NATO, has attempted to tear NATO down. Donald Trump. Donald, who said, if you don't give your 2% to NATO, 2% of your GDP, you don't give that to NATO, then guess what? NATO won't defend you. Vladimir Putin can walk in. Anybody can walk in. They can walk in, they can get you, they can kill you. Sort of an interesting thread that goes through all of this. This idea on the side of Trump that they can kill people. It's okay to kill. You can kill the Europeans. You can kill your opponents. You can jail your opponents. Wonder who does that. Oh, Vladimir. He jails people just like that. Media, the enemy of the people. How did we get here? I don't know how we got here, but I'll tell you this. We got a real problem if we don't stop it right where we are. And we can stop it. We can do it. But we can't do it without people standing up and being strong. This afternoon, Joe Biden could have been that man. He didn't do it. It's not the end. He can still do it if he's capable. But he better show somebody something pretty soon. Or it'll be okay. But Kamala Harris will be the presidential candidate instead of Joe, and that's all right. She's excellent. He's excellent. She was put there in the first place so she could do this if it were necessary. And it may be necessary. Now, I want to add one other thing to this before I switch subjects at all here. I mean, we could talk another day about NATO at length, and we'll probably end up talking next week about it once NATO comes to town and we hear all the things that are said there. But there's another poll that's out today. You know, everybody in the Democratic Party, everybody trails Donald Trump right now. That's without a campaign. I'm perfectly confident that Kamala Harris could take on Donald Trump and end all of this for good. However, This poll I'm going to tell you about is a powerful poll. And we've all known about it. And so I'm just going to say it again. Michelle Obama is the only Democrat who beats Donald Trump. And let me say this. She doesn't beat him by a point or two or three. She beats Trump by 11 points. So Trump, you know, beats all these other people by 3, 4, 5 points. And by the way, let me clarify that part too. Let's say Trump's got 49 and Joe Biden has 45. So that's 94%. So you still have 6% out there. And if that 6% breaks against Trump, then Joe Biden wins. Now, that's just the overall vote, because you know what it needs to be. It needs to be Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan. Those are the three states that matter. That's where we are. Whoever wins one of those three states will be president. If you win all three, you're definitely president. And, you know, Donald thinks that he's got an easy position here, that he can just walk in and win Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Michigan. It's not going to be that easy. But if you've got Michelle, you got a whole different situation, because Michelle wins everywhere. How did she get so popular? I don't even know how to tell you. She's a nice lady, a smart lady. She did, you know, very nice things as the First Lady of the United States. But listen, right now, she's just the most popular person on the planet. I mean, that's just the way it is. Everybody loves Michelle. She's beating Trump by 11 points. And there is no way that Trump can win against that kind of a situation, that kind of a vote. He just can't. Now, we know that Michelle has said over and over again, she doesn't want to be president. She's not going to do it. And maybe she won't. But again, that's the answer. We know she can win if she wants it. At the moment, she doesn't want it. So let's talk about what Kamala could do if she were the presidential nominee. And the reason I go back to her, first of all, she'd have access to the money, which other people would not. She would have obviously the presumption of having, you know, been in the White House and been studying and learning at the side of Joe Biden, who has been a very consequential and successful president. And that's not just me saying it. Remember, it's the 154 scholars who come together every year and tell who they think the best and worst presidents are. And one thing for sure, that some of the others go up and down, but Donald's always at the bottom. He's always last. I wonder why. And Joe Biden came in at 14. So something going on here, but you know, you'll have to sort all that out for yourself. All I can tell you is what the numbers are. But here's the deal. If Kamala were the pick, if she were the nominee, she could choose from, well, probably three people. One probably won't do it. That's Gavin Newsom. We talked about that yesterday. He sees himself as a presidential candidate, which is rightfully so because he's that good. But he won't go against Kamala Harris because they're friends. They're friends from California for a long time. He said he won't, and I believe him. He said he won't. So that's out. and he won't get the money anyway. The money is with Kamala. So that's number one. The second thing is you got two other possibilities, two good ones. One is Gretchen Whitmer, and that's from Michigan. So that makes sense because you need to win Michigan. But you know that nobody's going to go along with the idea of two women on that ticket. You're not going to have a president and a vice president, both women. Nothing wrong with it. You could do it. It would be terrific. But it's just not going to happen. So you could take Gretchen Whitmer out of that story. So now you're down to Josh Shapiro in Pennsylvania because you need some help because you want to win Pennsylvania. Because again, if Kamala comes in and becomes the candidate, and with the help of Josh Shapiro, the governor of Pennsylvania, she were then to win Pennsylvania, she'd win. End of story. Because again, this race is so locked where it is right now. It's not going anywhere. It's in cement. It's not moving. I mean, a couple of points here and there, maybe, yeah. But the problem is that there aren't a bunch of Biden voters who are going to vote for Trump. There also aren't a lot of Trump voters who are going to vote for Biden or Kamala or anybody, except they love Michelle. Now, that they do. So, looks like if it's Kamala, the answer would be Josh Shapiro. Win Pennsylvania, you're president of the United States, and Donald can go straight to the ash heap of history where I keep saying that he's going. I've been saying he's going there since 2016, and believe me, I am confident that he's going there. People say to me, how do you know? Well, I don't know, but I have a pretty good sense, and the sense is that Donald's extremely unpopular. Women, boy, do they hate this guy. And if you have a woman presidential candidate on the Democratic Party side, it'll be every reason for women to come out in gigantic numbers to vote against Trump. And what do these women want? Well, first of all, they want to be left alone. That I guarantee you. Do they all want abortion? I don't think so. I don't think so at all. A lot of people say, oh, this is all about abortion. I wish the Democrats wouldn't say that word ever again. Talk about what women want. First of all, they want birth control pills. They want all the various methods of birth control that they use. They don't want some guy telling them what to do. They definitely don't. What else do they want? And this is probably the number one thing that they want. They want to know that if they're pregnant, trying to have a child, that if something goes wrong, that they can walk into an emergency room and immediately get every bit of help that they need. And just to be clear on this, I've talked about it before, I'm going to say it again. If you're a woman and your water breaks when you're pregnant and it's too soon to have that kid, you'd better get into that hospital fast because you've breached that sterile environment for that child, and it affects not only the child, but it affects the woman's body. You're looking at the potential for sepsis and death. Quickly. This is not a couple of women in a few states. This is thousands of women who routinely, unfortunately, because pregnancy is not perfect, they go through these problems. The water breaks. They need a doctor, and they need a doctor fast. And they need a doctor that's prepared to act. And I can tell you right now that you tell that story over and over and over to women who understand it so well, And even Kamala, she may not be Michelle, but even Kamala will just march straight into that White House office because women are not going to put up with this mess. That's probably the number one thing that women are concerned about. And the number one thing that the Democratic Party has to do is take that story to these women. And by the way, you've got states that have this actually on the ballot this year, including Missouri. So this is not going to be a simple thing for Donald Trump to walk away from. He's going to have to face this, and a good, strong candidate can make him face it, and a great woman candidate could absolutely force him to face this, and then it's the end of him. Then we can come in and talk on the air wherever we are, and it'll be the end of that name. We don't have to say it again. It's all gone. Bye-bye. All you need to do is tell this story properly to women and motivate to come in and vote for whichever candidate. Now, could a man do this? Yes. Could Joe Biden do it? Absolutely he could. No question in my mind. But he better start now. He better start yesterday. This is not the time to play games. This is the time to bring it big, to show people, Felicia, as you said, absolutely, yes, show people that this is no joke. Women will respond. Women don't want this mess. They want a life. They want a life for their kids. They want children. This is not about abortion. Stop saying that. This is about keeping women alive. And let's remember, too, which I always say, it's about keeping black women alive, because we know that they die three times the number of white women across the United States. And in Missouri, it's four times that bad. So here we are. We can do this, but we need to be tough. And can Joe Biden be tough? Maybe. I hope he can. And if he can, he can run for this office. But he better show somebody pretty quickly that he can do it. And it's not going to be enough with George Stephanopoulos this weekend. That's good. It's a start. Not enough. What he should have done is he should have walked into that White House briefing room today and said, I'm taking over this briefing, and I'm here as long as you all can stand up. You want to ask me the same dumb question over and over again? I'll give you the same answer, but I will stick with you all the way through this. He didn't do it. Could have, but he didn't. Can he do it still? Sure. Let's see what he's capable of. The first thing's going to be George Stephanopoulos on Sunday. And then after that, he's going to have to pick it. Not up to me. It's going to be up to him. And if he can't do it, then he's going to have to turn this over to Kamala Harris and let her do it. And I'm sure she can. I have no doubt about it. Michelle, yeah, Michelle could win. She's 11 points ahead of Donald Trump in the polls, which is crazy. She's not running for anything, but she's 11 points ahead and everybody else 2, 3, 4 points behind. So it's not that big of a deal here for Donald. He's not in that great shape. He can be taken down, but you got to stand up and be tough. Okay. Keep it in mind. Dinner at Wendy's. Jewelry at 4506 Hampton. That's Jewels on Hampton. And finally, you can get the greatest men's clothing at the St. Louis Suit Company in Clayton. They've been there for 29 years. I'm out of here. Be back after the 4th. See you on the 5th. I'm Mark Kaysen. This is Showdown. Good night.